God wants to be our guide. Now, how does He guide us? We've talked about it. He guides from the Spirit that is within us. I ran across a scripture this week that I don't guess I've ever really noticed it that much before, but it's Isaiah 58:11. And it says, just listen, you know how to turn there. It just says this, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Isn't that interesting? It's talking about flourishing. It's talking about this spring of water that comes through us as God guides us. We're like this spring of water. Now that makes you think of something else, doesn't it? It made me. Let me think of what Jesus said in John 7:37. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow," what? "Rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus likened the work of the Holy Spirit within us to a river of what? Living water. He likened it to a spring of water. Isaiah prophesied of this river or this spring of living water, talking about the guidance of God. That's pretty cool. In the Old Testament, if you read it, you'll see that it's kind of the New Testament in code. It's showing you something, but you got to look at the New Testament to figure out exactly what it's showing you. Okay, because the Lord is pretty smart. He didn't want the devil to figure it out too early. That's why we pray in tongues, of course, because the devil can't understand that. But in the Old Testament, he's talking about guiding us by this river of water. Jesus makes it real clear that the guidance, the river of water that guides us, is the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides us. I mean, we talked about last week that we're led by life, living water. The Holy Spirit is that living water. We're to be continually led or continually guided, but we've got to be on His frequency. We've got to learn to hear in that frequency. God does not push us from without. We are not led by price. We're not led by pressure. We're not led by things that are external. We are led by the Holy Spirit within us, who guides us, who leads us. He doesn't push us. But as we've talked about, we have to have ears to hear. Not physical ears, spiritual ears, so we can hear. When we hear, He gives us wisdom, which is the currency that God uses. He gives wisdom. We then, by hearing, learn to exchange His wisdom for whatever it is that we need. He tells us, do this, we do that, because we are His sheep, we hear His voice, we follow, we do that, and the exchange is made for whatever we need. Money, talent, whatever it is. So we exchange it. But we've got to be able to understand what He's saying. We've got to be on His frequency. I heard a story about a guy who had who got a flat tire while he was driving, so he pulled to the curb, and when he's over at the curb, he realized he stopped in front of the local mental health sanitarium. And so he's there, and a patient in the sanitarium kind of, you know, walked up to the fence and began to tease him. He ignored the patient's, you know, teasing him and insults while he carefully took off each lug of the tire and, you know, put them in the hubcap, and he's changing it out. And while he was changing the tire, he stood up to go get the spare, and he kicked the hubcap, and all of the lug nuts that you put to hold the tire on, they all fell out of the hubcap and rolled down and fell down into a gutter drain. And he's like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And the guy that was mentally unstable began to laugh at him, began to make fun of him. The guy's getting ready to have to call the tow truck to come and get him, to take him someplace, and he can't figure out what to do. And so the guy in the mental health institution says, "I can help you." And the guy, you know, he just looks at him, you know, you're crazy, you can't help me. And he says, "No, really, I can help you." And he said, "Oh, really? Okay, what should I do?" And the crazy guy says, "Take one lug nut off the other three tires. Put them on the spare, and that way you can get to the shop to get new lug nuts." And the guy realizes, man, that's pretty good. So he looks at the guy and said, "How do you know that?" And the guy looks back at him and says, "Listen, I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid." Well, sometimes we just need to get on God's frequency. If we're Spirit-led, we will hear and we will have wisdom. We'll know what to do. And there's a big difference between being Spirit-led. What's the other alternative? Flesh-led. You need to be led by the Spirit or led by the flesh. We've read over and over from Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with our circumstance. He bears witness with our spirit. If we're going to be led by God, we have to learn how to become God-minded, Jesus-focused, God-focused, focusing on the things of the Spirit. The enemy always leads by the flesh. He always comes from without. He always wants you to be led by the circumstances. I'm not going to get as far as I need to get today or want to get today, but the enemy comes and he gives you two choices usually, and they're both wrong, and demands that you choose one of those, doesn't he? He does it a lot. But if you're led by that, what's your choice? The lesser of two evils. And you think you have to choose one of those two, but if you are Spirit-led, you don't have to choose one of those two. There's another answer that comes from the Spirit. All right? Jesus said it this way. Well, this is one thing he said. In Matthew 7, verse 13, we read this last week. You don't have to turn here. Let me just read it to you. He said, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." And we read that last week, but Jesus said, broad is the way to destruction. Last week we identified that the leader in that direction is the devil or the thief. That the devil wants you to go to the place of destruction. He wants to make you think it's obvious you have to go this way. There's no choice. You got to go this way. All right? He makes you think that's what you're supposed to do. Let me just say this. To follow God, anything and everything is not okay. You can't just make a choice based on what seems right and then try to quote Scripture and think it's going to turn out right. If you're not where God wants you to be, not doing what He told you to do, you need to understand you need to repent before disaster comes so you can be in the right place at the right time. God has a plan. He leads us in the way of life, which is a narrow way, which is God's way. Just doing whatever may seem to make sense, but if it's not the leading of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't work out right. Does that make sense what I just said? I mean, I know this. I've been in the wrong place at the wrong time because I knew that deep inside of me, I knew I didn't obey what God told me to do. I tried to rationalize it. I tried to make myself believe that doing something different was the plan of God. I tried to convince myself. But the reality is God knew that I knew what He said. And we got to do that. The path of least resistance, as you know, makes men and rivers crooked. We've got to follow what God said. Can't just do whatever we want to do. When I'm getting ready to do something, I hear His voice. If I don't do what He said, I can quote all the Scriptures in the world. If I'm disobedient to Him, it's not going to work out right. Now, we understand. The ideal thing to do is not to get there in the first place. Because the Bible says, no temptation has come on me that I'm not able to resist. But then, if I get there, then if I, before bad stuff starts to happen, I just need to repent and get out of it. So that it doesn't happen that way. The enemy will always lead us by the flesh. That's what he does. The scripture says in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." He could have said it this way: be led by the Spirit. Or, be spiritually minded, focused on the things of the Spirit. If you take the time to focus yourself on the things of the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When we miss it, it's because we're not spiritually minded. The Apostle Paul went on to say, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things you would. If I am focused on the flesh, I cannot be focused on the Spirit. If I am led by my flesh, I can't be led by the Spirit. I have to walk in the Spirit. It's interesting, he goes on to say, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Here's what he just said. If you're led by the Spirit, nothing can stop you. The circumstance can't stop you. The things around you can't stop you if you're led by the Spirit. Then it's interesting. He said, now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which he basically means the works of the flesh are easy to see. I mean, they're obvious. He said that adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. Okay, it goes on this long list. He tells us that if we do those things, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He's not talking about heaven here. He's talking about what God intends to happen in our lives. He's talking about listening to the Spirit so we can do what God has for us to do. He says in Amplified, but this I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive and controlled and guided by the Spirit. We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. He talks about all these things. I'm just going to read them in the Amplified because it explains them better. The doings and practices of the flesh are obvious. They are immorality. Okay, let's stop. If it's immoral, it's not the Spirit. Will the Holy Spirit ever lead you to lie? No, even if it sounds like the best thing to do. You know, your wife comes and says, does this dress make me look fat? You don't have to lie. You say, that's the Holy Spirit for the right answer. Because here are your options from the devil. Tell her the truth and lie. I mean, tell her the truth and get in trouble. Tell a lie and stay out of trouble. Those are your two options. There's another option somewhere out there.
Third option, no, you looked
bad already. Or to have before that day said to your wife, honey, if you ask me the question, I'm going to tell you the truth. So don't ask it unless you want to know. But we have to learn how to hear. If it is immoral, it's not God. If it's impure, if it is indecent, it's not God. Well, we can dress any way we want to. No, we can't. If it's indecent, we can't. The Holy Spirit will not lead you that way. Your flesh will. He talks about idolatry. Oh, well, I don't worship anything but God. I hear people say that. And yet, their job is more important than God. Their boat is more important than God. Whatever activities they have set up are more important than God. Their convenience is more important than God. All those become idols to us when they take the place of Him. If it puts anything before God, it's not the leading of the Spirit. It's the flesh. Sorcery, enmity, strife. If it causes me to be in strife, it's not God. Jealousy, anger, then it puts in parentheses, ill temper. If I have a bad temper, that's not the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just the way I am. No, it's not. Not if you're led by the Spirit. You can overcome it. Selfishness, there's a big one. If it's all about me, it's not God leading me. Divisions. It's not God leading me when those things are present. That's how you're led by the flesh. Party spirit. That's an interesting thing to say. It's not God. It just is not God. I'll just skip a few of these. Envy, drunkenness, carousing. It's not God. And then I like the next phrase says, and the like. In other words, the list isn't confined just to these things. Stuff that's like that, it's not God. It's the flesh. I just wonder how many times we're led by the way we feel or by the circumstance that is putting pressure on us, by the devil giving us the two options. I mean, we need to recognize that and the like. But, Paul says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it's like to be led by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, everything else fits in that title. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against that, there's no law. Nothing can stop you. God wants us to be led by the Spirit. If it's love, it's the leading of God. If you cut me off on the loop and I get mad at you, that's not the Holy Spirit leading me. If I forgive you, that's the Spirit of God. I forgive you, but I hope you wreck. That's not love. That becomes just what we were talking about. That becomes the leading of the flesh. All right? You need to recognize this. When you got born again, your flesh didn't get born again. It was your spirit. Your spirit was reborn, and now you got to be led by the Spirit, by the living water. Now, this is the text we've been reading for the last couple of weeks. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. This is John chapter 10. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth forth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. We have to learn to hear his voice, or he calls us by name. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, in verse 14, and am known of mine. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow him. Here's the promise. We are his sheep. We hear his voice, and we follow him. We are his sheep. I am his sheep. I know his voice. So are you. We're his sheep. All right, so then, we also read in Romans chapter 8, I'm just going to look at this one verse here, where it says, that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, Romans 8, 6. We are led by life and peace. Last year we talked a lot about being led by life, being spiritually minded, and being led by life. Now today I'm going to talk about being led by peace. If I'm going to get there very far. I'll just do this. Let's think about these verses of Scripture. Romans chapter 15, 33. You don't have to turn to these. Just listen to what I'm going to say. Romans 15, 33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Romans 16, 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Several times in the Bible, God is referred to as the God of peace. God of peace. Isaiah 9:6, talking about Jesus, says, for unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God is the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And there are other passages that talk about this. If it's not peace, if there's no peace in your leading, it's not God. Life and peace. If there's not peace, it's not God. We need to recognize that. Your head says, this is the only way to go. But if there's no peace, it's not God. Here's my rhyme for this week. Don't be led by your head. Don't be led by your head. If there's no peace, it's not God. You get to that place where it's like, well, we have no other choice. We have to do this. But if there's no peace, it's not God. We talked about earlier, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead by the flesh. He leads by the Spirit. The Spirit will take us into a place of peace. Don't be led by your head. Follow peace. Well, yeah, but I don't have peace either anyway. Then you haven't been still, and you've not listened. Because there's a way of peace. He leads by peace. Follow peace. Proverbs 3, you know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. What did that just say? Don't be led by your head. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge. The word acknowledge literally means recognize. In all your ways, recognize Him. Find where He is. And He will direct your paths. Then the first part of verse 7 says, be not wise in your own eyes. Huh? Don't be wise in your eyes. That's right. Don't be led by your head. Always look for Him. Be on the lookout for life and peace. Life and peace. One of my favorite verses of Scripture in all the Bible is Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee. Man, when you are spiritually minded, there is peace. There's peace. Perfect peace. In the Hebrew, it literally says, shalom, shalom. It only says that two times in the Old Testament. Shalom, shalom. The word shalom means completeness. It means nothing missing, nothing broken, totally together. He says He will keep you in perfect peace, complete completeness. He will keep you in complete, nothing missing, nothing broken. He will keep you there. The key is to be focused on Him. Having your mind stayed on Him. When the mind is stayed upon Him, we can trust Him, we'll obey Him, we'll be supplied with whatever we need. Perfect peace. Think about this verse. I'll try to close here in just a second. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. God is thinking thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What kind of thoughts does He think toward us? Thoughts of peace. God is not trying to confuse you. He's leading us by peace into His good plan. He's always trying to figure out how He can get our life to be complete with nothing missing and nothing broken. He's thoughts of peace. He leads us in that way. What's the opposite of peace then? Confusion. If we're confused, it's not God. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. That's confusion. It's not God. He leads. It says this in 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. If there's peace, it's God. If it's confusing, it's not God. He leads us by life and peace. You know this verse of Scripture too, Isaiah 55. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Here's what that looks like. The mountains and hills will break forth before you into singing. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What's that saying? It's saying when we're led by the Spirit, God gets the glory because it ultimately works out to our benefit. His plan then comes to fruition when we're led by peace. Peace. Being led by peace. We'll talk more about this next week because I'm really out of time today. We want to be led by peace. Peace. There's a peace that passes understanding. I don't understand, Lord, how this can be right, but you're the one who's leading me here and there's peace. And I will follow you. Being led by peace. I don't have to take the world's two answers or three. I can hear you and you will show me what to do. If I don't have peace, either I've not heard yet or I haven't been still enough to receive the peace. He leads us by peace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, today I thank you for peace that passes understanding. I thank you for your answers in our lives. I thank you for what you're saying, for what you're doing. I thank you, Father, that by your Spirit you lead us and there is peace. In fact, Jesus, you promised us, peace is what I leave with you. My peace is what I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Then you said, let not your heart be troubled. We refuse to be led in confusion or trouble or from the pressure of the world. We choose peace. We choose life in Jesus' name.